Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hi.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about how to value land. That seems pretty obvious.
Yeah, you'd think.
I'll try to make it complicated, though, that's for sure.
Oh, okay, good.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay, Matt asks, "Hi, everyone. I'm starting to close my deals in-house, and I'd like to make sure that the way I accept payment is as current as possible. I'm up to date on the podcast and the Thursday afternoon weekly member calls. I can't tell you how many different things I've heard, ha ha. Payment systems seem to come and go. One week it sounds like a company allows real estate, the next they don't, and so on. I know that Jack and Jill are working to solve this for us, much appreciated, but what is the current state of the art? If you were setting up your payment system for selling properties today, how would you approach it? In parentheses, I haven't set up my land pin account yet, but I will be doing so soon. Parentheses. What do you think, Jack?
This is a very, very valid concern, and it's a big issue. So here's the deal. In around 2004 to 2010, everybody's happily going along collecting payments for properties in the purchase and sale and the actually like payments to make payments to pay off the property with PayPal. They woke up one day around, 2010 and said, it's beyond our risk threshold, and they cut us all off, all of us. They didn't give us any notice.
We were all happily sailing along.
So we all scrambled and found something else. I think it was Stripe at the time or BluePay, or there's a bunch of them. There's a million they're called payment gateways. And all of them, for whatever reason,
It's not the same time, too. It's funny. It's like one dominoes. By one, they go, we're all over here. We're all happily accepting payments. And the next thing, they go, no, we changed our mind. And then we go to the next guy.
Yeah, it's like dominoes. So there, you have exactly two solutions. And one of them's not Jill Pay is one of them. And we're working extremely hard to get this thing done. The second one, and a couple of our members have done this very successfully. In fact, we've done it, too, is to go to your bank and sit down with the branch manager or whoever is the most appropriate or highest person you can get to. Try to make it a large branch and explain the situation. And they will, especially if you have had a bunch of deposits over time and they're looking at your bank account and your deposits over the last few years, they will grant you permission to do this. And they'll kind of say, they don't issue a waiver, but what they really do is say, look, you seem to be a stand-up person on this whole thing. We're going to let you do this. And so several members have had success with that. It's not an overnight process, which is why Jill and I are really trying to solve. Mm-hmm. We are solving this with Jill Pay. Mm-hmm. And it all comes down to the back-end processor. If you look in on the internet and find out how credit cards are processed and how many people are involved when you buy something on Amazon, it's actually relatively silly. The real winners
are more involved than you realize. Exactly.
Yeah.
What do the banks issue? Do they let them do? They give them something that lets them be like the payment gateway kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Specifically, Bank of America is known to do this, and that's who we use right now. So, if you're brand new and you've got 30 cents in your bank account, it's probably not going to work.
Right.
I'm just being real, real straight about it.
Well, and let's just be honest. Worst case scenario, can people wire you money? Yes. Can people send you checks and do payments like that? Yes. There's you can get around it if you have to. I mean, I remember in the old days, seriously, people would send checks or money orders or cashier's checks, and I would tell them I will mail the deed, especially mm-hmm. if it's a personal check, that's all they had. I'd say, all right, when the check clears, I received your check, I deposited, here's a screenshot, whatever, and then it's supposed to clear in 3 days, and when it clears, I'll send you the deed. And they understand, and it's okay.
That's a great point, Jill. You can take ACH payments all day long mm-hmm. online.
Exactly.
So that's a very valid, I don't know why we don't do that more often. In fact, I'm going to look into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't be afraid. I mean, when someone's, especially with the larger transactions, I mean, when we've had real, real large transactions, I don't want to run them through the credit card because I don't want to pay that much percentage on the transaction. So I would much prefer that someone, it's $50,000. Why don't you just wire it to me? And here's my bank information. Do I worry about security with that? Have I had any issues with doing it that way? No. I haven't.
No, and there has to be some trust, too. So I've given that speech over the years several times. You have to trust. There has to be a little bit of trust, and you have to show some history on the internet that you're actually here to stay.
Right.
So it's called common sense stuff. Mm-hmm. If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com. Today's topic, how to value land. This is the meat of the show. So this would fall under the category of Captain Obvious here. But the topic came up because I got in like a light debate with somebody who's not even a member on landinvestors.com about this topic. And,
that's hilarious.
And here's what happened.
I missed this. Is it there for all of us to go see?
In case, if you're brand new to this, if you're brand new to the show, Jill and I, our hobby, well, now it's become our career, is to dispel the myths of regular real estate. Regular real estate is bought and sold like it's 1953.
Totally.
And how you value real estate is still straight out of 1953, in my opinion.
Maybe I'm going to show up in a gold jacket. We should have like a photo of us with a gold jackets. Like, really?
People are obsessed in this industry across the board from skyscrapers all the way down to rural vacant land. Obsessed with completed sales. And I have to argue that because while completed sales are valid, They are absolutely valid. The more you dig into completed sale on any given deal, the more you're going to find errors. So there's only about two places you can get good completed sale data. Number one, the MLS / Zillow / Trulia, and that's only as good as how the real estate agent inputs it.
If they
if they do it at all,
exactly,
because they already got their commission check. They're not much very.
They're not really
going to
follow up on the paperwork. They're going to put market sold, take the sign down, and move on. Yeah.
Number two is assessor data. Same thing. It's only as good as the assessor puts it inputs the data. So, and what happens with assessor data in our line of business with this asset type? Very, very, very often deals are completed in what's called multi-unit transactions. So not we just didn't buy one property, we bought 50 or 2 or 10. And that gross amount of that purchase price or sale, the sale amount, gets input and associated with every single one of those APNs. So it really skews the data fast.
That's true.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
Uh-huh.
So completed sales, while they are valid, are not the end all. Here's the end all. What's your property worth? How do you value what your property's worth? It's very simple. It's the value that someone's willing to pay for it.
It's true.
Well, let's look at what people are willing to pay. And it's right in your face. It's right in front of you.
You know, it's funny. Like how many, I know this still happens. We all know this happens. You're buying a house. You make an offer of, I don't know, $483,000, right? So then the guy comes out for the appraisal. By golly, he appraises it at $483,000.
How can that be?
Gee, how did that happen? Huh. Let's all think about this. See, there you go. It's the sales price that really determines what it's worth, Jack, like that. So thank you.
I think that the value of an asset like this is looking at
the purchase price, I should say.
Other properties that are for sale.
Yeah.
And making sure that you're below that.
Right.
That's how you value a property. Here's an example. If you have a 5-acre property in Mojave County, Arizona, that you're thinking about buying, this is really where this is why this topic is so important, because you don't want to pay too much up front before you flip it.
Right.
So what do? You go look at the other properties that are for sale, and then you make sure that you buy it way below the lower echelon priced property so you can't get hurt on the resale. That's the value of your property. So if it's $20,000, you better make darn sure that you buy the thing for less than 10 or less than half in this asset value. With houses, it's different. It's a little bit higher. But that's really how you value an asset. It's not completed sales. Here's some examples of what skews completed sales really bad. Let's say, and I see this all the time, and it makes me nuts when I look at completed sales. So Jill has a company and I have a company. I own a bunch of property and she owns a bunch of property. And that's just how we've done it for years and years for a lot of reasons. And we don't like pick and choose which ones we get. We just do it to split it up so that for a lot of reasons, for a lot of liability reasons.
It's kind of like the kids. You're in charge of that one.
So
I'm out. God,
which one do I get?
I'm out.
That'd be hard.
Come on, we all do it. You know we all do it. You're in charge of that one. I'll take this one on. All right, got it. You got the tough one. I'll do this for you. All right, that's fair. Done.
Yeah, there's nothing fair about that. You're right. It's a mess. Anyway, so a lot of times, for whatever reason, Jill needs a bunch of property to be in her name from me. So what do? I deed it over to her. Well, I have to assign a value to that. Guess what value we assign? $1. Mm-hmm. And that's a completed sale in the assessor's database.
Right. That does screw things up. If you go looking up your thing, you're like, well, I guess I'm going to price it at $2.
And I never deed, for whatever reason, you never deed me or I never deed you one property. It's like 50
like
of them.
Bunch.
And now they're all 50 have $1.
So divided by a dollar. 50 divided by, or $1 divided by 50.
So you can see how it gets skewed. The right, I explained how to do it. Look at the property that's actually posted for sale and just be lower. Be under the price.
I love it. You know what, Jack? Thank you. That wasn't too confusing.
Okay, good.
You want to throw something in there? Just kidding.
You want me to throw something in to confuse it?
Exactly. Just kidding.
Well, all right. Here, I'll confuse it.
Uh-oh.
I mean, this is why. I'll tell you what's confusing. What's really, really confusing is looking at completed sales and trying to, if you picture all the data in a spreadsheet of a whole county of data, and you have all the completed sales, and there's properties in there for a dollar, a lot of them are zero. So what does that mean? They never sold. No, they just never got input. So tons of them are in there for a dollar or $5 or some obscure amount. And then these are all like-kind properties. And then at the top, there's several that are like $14 million. And here's why they're $14 million. Because the assessor or the inputter added too many zeros.
Yeah.
How many times have you looked at the acreage of a property and sorted for it, and it said 43560? This is 43,000 acres, this property? No, it's 43560 square feet equals right. 1 acre.
Exactly.
Because the cake eaters input it wrong.
Oh, can't. Oh, my gosh.
I defy you to tell me I'm wrong.
I know you're right, but you can't. That's okay. They don't listen.
Jill won't let me talk about the people that work at the county and how much cake they eat.
Cake eaters. Oh, my gosh. What other names do you have for people? What do you call the people at the post office?
I don't have a name. I don't go into a post office.
Okay. What do you call the people at the bank?
I don't go into the bank.
What do you call the people in the grocery store?
Nice.
Whatever.
What do you mean? I don't walk around with labels for people.
Special.
No, that's what I call you.
Oh, wait a minute. Listen.
This first, is my special
first
partner,
First you're telling
Jill.
Me I smell like bug spray this morning, and now you're telling me I'm special?
Wow, are you really talking about that on
yes.
the air?
Yes. I can't believe I sat down, and Jack's like, are you worried about something? Why? You smell like bug spray. Just like douse yourself? I'm like, no, it's a lotion, but that's the last time I use that.
I didn't mean it like that.
It's expensive lotion, too.
Thought,
that's really funny.
I honestly thought there's like bugs or something.
Yeah, like, what's going on there, babe? You smell like bug spray.
And that's love.
Thank you.
I know it's good for me, so I'm going to say this sentence. Join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information. That's me.
You're right. And inspiration. That's me.
To get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. I can't believe you.
Cake ears.
With the bug spray thing.
I know. It's like, it's the Lacetain or something. I never say it right. But it's a fancy lotion that they have, but oh well. And I have a travel size I haven't used. I think I'll give that away.
You know what? Don't take my word for it. Ask other people.
Oh, thank. No, no one's going to say that. They're not going to go, you know, mosquitoes? Mosquitoes going around today? What's going on? No.
Yeah, I'm going to end this while I'm just not slightly up, not ahead. Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show.
We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.